Thank you very much. Chairs, Excellencies, dear colleagues, we would like to sincerely thank Morocco for adopting such an important theme for this year's HAS. Now, as we know, on the 12th of August, 70 years ago, the Geneva Conventions were adopted as the basic laws protecting victims of armed conflict. They are relevant to governments, to decision makers, to the militaries, to humanitarians, to lawyers alike. In fact, what they say in over 400 articles is what unites us as people is deeper and more profound than what divides us. And it's essential this year to collectively reflect on the achievements of these conventions, but more importantly, on the challenges that lie ahead and ways to continue to translate this body of law into reality that makes genuine protection on the ground. Now, it's rather remarkable when you think about it that the Geneva Conventions were adopted in 1949, just a few mere years after the horrific experiences of World War II and at the beginning of the Cold War. And I think it's a really compelling and shining light example of how fast we can move as an international community. They took 4 months of negotiation when we have a common purpose with the idea to preserve the minimum nature of humanity, even in times of armed conflict. Now, what made these conventions be universally accepted, as was expressed? They have a clear focus. They focus upon the victims of war, people who do not or no longer fight. The conventions also are not extravagant in their requests. They're ambitious to find a pocket of humanity during times of armed conflict, but they are very pragmatic. They're practical. And I think in universal ratification of these treaties, states have drawn a clear, bright line between what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, even in times of armed conflict. And the convention set out basic but crucial rules, and just a few of them. No one may be subject to torture or cruel or inhumane or degrading treatment. Murder, mutilation, and rape, as was expressed by our chair, are prohibited. Medical care must be given to the sick and the wounded, even the enemy. And this is a critical point in today's context. Hospitals and medical personnel must not be attacked, and detainees, no matter what side they come from, must be treated humanely. Now, at the time of this anniversary year, it is tempting to focus on what's been achieved, but the world is not the same as it was in 1949, and we need to look squarely in the face of the realities that sometimes put pressure points on this law. At the ICRC, we are witnessing a number of interesting developments that we have to absorb into this normative framework. For example, the impact of climate change and the fact that conflict and other shocks on people we work with in their environment is having an intersectionality, an interaction of vulnerabilities. And often we find conflict-affected countries are also engaged in issues of climate. Here again, the law provides some answers, even though the rules in IHL do not expressly address climate change. They deal with, of course, the natural environment, and they set out protections for natural resources whose exploitations can have implications on the way the climate changes. IHL also protects natural resources as objects indispensable to the survival of the civilian populations. Chair, ladies and gentlemen, your excellencies, although universally ratified and joined, the Geneva Conventions are far from being universally respected, as we know. And over the past years, there have been increasing voices that have put into doubt that IHL even works and whether it's adapted to deal with the conflicts that are fought today. But armed conflicts across the world, we know from our experience, there are examples daily of parties fighting by the rules. They're quiet, their everyday achievements, a wounded person is let through a checkpoint, a child receives humanitarian assistance, a detainee is visited and sent a message to their family. Not always visible, but important not to lose sight of. Violations of the law, as we know, do not challenge the relevance of the law. If anything, the disastrous humanitarian consequences they generate and that we witness underscore the vital importance of respecting and ensuring respect for law, international humanitarian law, the Geneva Conventions, in all circumstances. We can do better. And in fact, for those who suffer daily during times of armed conflict, we must do better. We owe this to our common humanity. Thank you.